Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by the editor of Buffalo Spree, Elizabeth Licata.
Hello, Mark. Thank you for having me.
The November issue will be unveiled on Wednesday, October 19th, at a release party at the Glen Park Tavern on Main Street in Williamsville. Elizabeth, you're giving us the rare pleasure of previewing the issue before it hits subscribers' mailboxes.
That's right. Most people don't, as we speak, most people do not have the issue. We just have a few sample copies in our offices.
Now, the main feature is all about Italian red sauce and the various restaurants in the Buffalo area that serve Italian cuisine. And I'm sure this is going to spark a lot of debate because each of your readers probably has their personal favorite.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And I do want to clarify that when we say red sauce, what we mainly mean is Italian comfort food. It might not necessarily even have red sauce on it. Most of the dishes actually do. But there are a couple that don't or are a little bit different.
Now, you wrote many of the articles that accompany the mouth-watering photos
yes.
in this special section. And can I assume you ate at all of the places before sitting down at your keyboard?
I did. Sometimes just taking things to go. I mean, it was kind of time-consuming. Sometimes it just happens that way where I have to do more, you know, because other, you know, writers didn't pick things up for whatever reason. But this was truly a pleasure, and you really couldn't complain about having to go and have a wonderful dish of some sort of hearty Italian food. I mean, not really much to complain about there.
Do you have a particular favorite?
Well, actually, there is a restaurant that's, because we could not mention every restaurant, and I know that readers will look and they will find that the restaurant they love is not in the feature. And that doesn't mean that we don't recognize that there are so many dozens of wonderful Italian restaurants throughout Western New York. But the one that I'm thinking of is in Niagara Falls. And I think Niagara Falls is one of those places where they have a lot of good Italian restaurants. People should know that. Is Michael's on Pine Avenue. And they make a wonderful eggplant parmesan, which is one of the very typical traditional dishes that we write about in this feature.
And you did write about the Como restaurant, which
yes.
I do recall going to at some point a few years back.
The Como, I used to go there when I worked up in that area. It's a wonderful place for families. It's very welcoming. They have big banquet halls, so it's a good place for, you know, big events. And it's been a tradition in Niagara Falls for literally decades.
Now, some have been around for generations, like chefs. Others are relatively new, like Mangia's in Orchard Park.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the iconic Italian dish in our area is chef's spaghetti parm.
Why am I not surprised?
Just love it. Just love it. I also enjoyed reading your article about tripe, and I do have a story to share. I was dating my wife 35 years ago, and we went to Art Park, where there was some sort of Italian food festival taking place. It had to be around 1982. She's Italian. I'm Polish. So we come upon a vendor selling tripe. She says, try it. It's good. You're going to like it, you know. So I did. And I do remember enjoying the dish and had almost finished it when she tells me what I just ate. For the uninitiated, what is tripe?
Well, tripe is the inside muscular lining of a cow's stomach. And it's something that I really would almost want to say, don't try this at home. I mean, I'm sure that there are people out there who are experts at cooking tripe, but it is difficult. My family, we tried it, but we were never able to get the results that you can get at places like Fortuna's, which is, of course, the restaurant that I wrote about in Spree. And it's a wonderful dish. And had you not known what it was, you never would have thought anything of it.
I haven't had it since.
Oh,
but
that's too bad.
But after reading this article about Fortuna's, you know, I probably want to give it a shot again.
It was wonderful. Don't know what they do to get it as tender, and it's flavorful. It's an amazing dish.
Now, this is not just about restaurants making red sauce. Most Italian families have sauce recipes that are shared from generation to generation.
Yes, everyone has their own opinion about what should go into the sauce and what should not go into the sauce. I think it's really just as combative as you hear about, for example, chili. What should or should not be in chili, I think, with red sauce. And also its name. Some people like to call it gravy. And I'm sure if you've ever watched
The Sopranos.
Yes, it's Sopranos. Then you've heard it called that. But when I was growing up, and I did have an Italian grandparents, they never called it that. I believe they always called it sauce.
Yeah. Gabe DiMeo, our old friend, writes about this in your November issue, and I didn't know there was even a controversy over this. I had not heard of the term gravy until The Sopranos came on. We've always called it sauce as well.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was a controversy, but Gabe says it is.
When you think of Italian cuisine, you think pasta and sauce, but
right.
Your special feature also includes some handheld favorites.
Well, yes, there are sandwiches too, and I just again Italian comfort food. So like a great big overloaded sandwich of porchettas from Amici's, or also Guercio's. We mentioned Marco's. They make wonderful sandwiches using Italian cured meats, which are fabulous, and various accoutrements on each sandwich. And these are very big, overstuffed sandwiches. You could easily just eat half and save the other one.
Also in the November issue, you profile a new book by local nature writer Jerry Reising. It's titled Birds and Bird Watchers. What do we learn about bird watching from Jerry?
Well, Jerry has been doing it and writing about it for many, many years in Western New York. So it's really good if you live here. You can read national books about birds, but Jerry's been doing it here, so he knows exactly where you should go and when you should go to see the kind of interesting birds that you'd really like to see, especially the lovely, small, colorful songbirds, which are very hard to spot. But Jerry knows how to do it. It's a 100 essays, and they're all very short, so it's really easy to just sort of dip into the book anywhere. You don't just start from the beginning, and it's very enjoyable. He's a good writer.
Are you a bird watcher?
I would like to be a bird watcher, but I have to say that I can only recognize a few very common birds, like chickadees, I know, cardinals, blue jays I can recognize, hawks, eagles. I really need to get some more practice in with my binoculars.
Well, I really identified with the last paragraph of your article where you describe a person who is happy for a glimpse of a cardinal in the backyard, and that's me.
That's right. And that's everyone's favorite bird, and it's for a reason. It's a beautiful, beautiful bird.
In fact, one time I got my iPad, went to the camera, and tried to get a close-up, so I got closer and closer, and then he flew away, and the moment had passed.
Oh, too bad.
Now, we usually don't have a chance to promote the issue release party here on the radio, but it is tomorrow night, Wednesday, at 5:30 at the Glen Park Tavern on Main Street in Williamsville. And this is open to anyone
wants
to come.
Mm-hmm. They'll have some complimentary, i.e. free, snacks. And you'll get to meet, well, I'll be there, if that means anything, and some of our writers and a lot of our staff. And you'll get to meet a lot of the Spree team and some of the people who are featured in the articles. And it's just sort of a fun, convivial gathering. And it's our last one of 2016.
I try to make it, but I won't be tomorrow night because I'll be here at WBFO wrapping up this fundraiser.
Doing good work, Mark.
Thank you.
We salute you.
And for those of you listening to the podcast, we invite you to support what we do on the web at WBFO. If you're listening to this, you're hearing the full press pass. It's not edited. It's the entire conversation. What you hear on the radio is tightly edited because we need to meet time constraints. So if you appreciate the expanded coverage we can give you on our website, please go to the donation page and click through there, and you can make your $60 contribution, $120 contribution. You can do whatever you want. Check out the thank you gifts. It's all here at the website, so take advantage of that.
Well, I agree. I think WBFO is worth supporting however you listen to it.
Elizabeth Licata, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Elizabeth, of course, editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.